Our last time together, we were talking about faith versus belief. We made a statement that believing is not faith. Believing is being fully convinced, but it's not faith. And I trust that you took the time to look to the Lord in these areas this past week so that we can move on with a fuller and richer understanding of what He has for us. If you find yourself coming to that place that things look impossible, and you can't understand what is being said, you're close. You're close to what God wants. Where we come to the end of ourselves, where we do not trust in ourselves in any way, because He has made that provision. And it's the same thing as we were talking about believing and having faith. The real thrust was that we must have a manifestation. We must have God with us. It's not enough for us to know God in words. It's not enough for us to go to the Scriptures and search the Scriptures. That will never feed you. There must be a manifestation of God. And God has promised that, and all of us know where those verses are. But the next thing is to live in this realm, this spiritual realm that God has called each one of us and has given us full provisions to where we can live there and walk there. We still fail because we're trusting in ourselves. We think that we can do it without Him. If we would come down to talking to each other about that, we would definitely agree. No, we can do nothing separate from Him. We know that verse. But still, we press on, trusting in our own selves, doing things separate from God Himself, moving separate from the Spirit. And again, this morning, I'm not bringing these truths to bring condemnation, but to bring you to a place of helplessness. Because if you can come to a place of what I term as hopelessness, there's only one place else to go, and that's to God. And God is your strength. God is your wisdom. God is everything that each one of us need, but as long as we find, as we look at ourselves and think that we can move separate from Him, and sometime down the line, we will maybe enter into this realm. When we see it as God has designed it, we'll realize that we need to enter into this spiritual realm now. When we hear the message today, if you hear His voice, harden not your hearts. That's what that verse is talking about. Let's don't harden our hearts. Let's move on in. How do we move in? Faith. Now, we've had a little bit of feedback from last Sunday. Here and there, and I don't know what maybe is in your heart this morning, what you've been thinking about. Maybe you feel that, you know, there's certain things that happen in your life that are actually the manifestations of what we're talking about. Well, let me just, for a moment here, try to give you at least my understanding based upon the Scriptures. If you'll read the second chapter of 1 Corinthians, just put it down, and I want you to read it. And I don't want you to just hurriedly read over it for the sake of reading it, but to see what Paul is really speaking to the Corinthians. What we're talking about, when we're talking about manifestation, we're not talking about fruit. When you come to the place that you need healing, you're not looking for fruit. You're not looking for love. You're not looking for patience. You're not looking for joy. You're looking for healing. That's the manifestation that we're talking about when we're talking about healing. When you're looking for exhortation, something that's going to feed you, something that's going to stimulate you, something that's going to comfort you, you're not looking for the fruit of the Spirit. which is the very life of God that he said would come out of our lives if we were abiding in him. That's not what we're looking for. We're looking for a manifestation of God. We're looking for ever what is needed for the moment. And some of us think that, well, I really don't need these things, and so thus we don't really press in. We don't really rely upon the Lord in every circumstance. We don't wait upon God. We move on with our understanding. We have somewhat of a mind that's logical, some of us more than others maybe. But we look at this thing, and with all of the information that's been programmed into our mind, all of the scriptures we have, we decide whether it's right or wrong. You're doing nothing but living from the tree. You're not living from the life. You're not drinking from the fountain. You're not living from the life that he's given within. You're living from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You're living from what suits you, what makes you happy. You may believe. You may be fully convinced, but you have not partaken. The thing is, we want to provoke each other in love to where we all can partake. To where there can be fruit in our lives. And the fruit that I'm talking about is the manifestation of works. Jesus didn't say, when I go away, greater fruit will you have. He said, greater works will you do because I go to the Father. Now, I know we're all convinced this morning, well, we're really not concerned with works. Get concerned with works. That is soft as I can say it so that everybody can hear it. Get concerned with works. Because those please the Father. He wants much works. He doesn't want just some works. Now, the works that I'm talking about relate to the manifestation that we're talking about, the manifestation of God. I cannot do the works of God separate from the Spirit of God. We would all agree. What does that mean? If I come to you and you come to me, or we talk and we're talking about things, or we're looking to have understanding, but are we looking to know what God has said? I don't mean in His Word. I mean what the Holy Spirit is saying now. What applies to my particular situation? I need what? I need a manifestation of the Spirit. I need to have a word of knowledge. But we don't need a word of knowledge. We're self-sufficient. I don't say that just, blanketly. From time to time, we get desperate. We come to the end where God brings us into that corner and we say, how do I get out of this? I've got to have God. I've got to have an answer from God. And we take the time. And more than likely, in God's mercy, He gives us a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom. But then we go on. We shift gears back into the natural. Of course, you say, well, we're living in the natural world. Yes, but the scriptures are very clear that you're no longer in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if the Spirit of Christ dwells in you. What does this mean? Because unless you're fully convinced, you're not going to move in faith to obtain that which is what we're talking about. Faith is active. Faith puts the whole man active. So if you're not fully convinced to where you have to have what God has, you will continue to live on this lower level, the flesh. Jesus, even though he was in the flesh, never walked in the flesh. He was always God. He always walked in the Spirit. And you see the things that he did, he could not have done them unless he was God. Do you agree? Mm-hmm. Every situation that he came in contact with, he knew. Why? Because there was a manifestation. Because he knew. Now, the thing is, well, we're not God. Yes, but he has come to abide within us. He has given each one of us, whether we have received it or not, the provision to where we can know. That we can have the knowledge. We can have the wisdom. Do we know the difference between knowledge and wisdom? I think most of us do. In other words, if I have knowledge, I've still got to have wisdom how to use the knowledge that God has given me. Because a lot of times we have knowledge of something, but we don't know how to address it. We don't know how to move in it for His glory and for His praise. We must be fully convinced this morning that I can do nothing in the spiritual separate from the Spirit of God. Tremendous statement. And we would all, I imagine, most of us would say, we agree. Right? But then if we're not really having faith, we will turn right from this morning and start to trust in the natural, because it takes spiritual energy to move into the Spirit and walk in the Spirit. We're not doing things what we would term just naturally from our own human resources. We're now moving in the realm of the Spirit. You can know nothing of the things of God except by the Spirit of God. Is that true?
Yes.
That's what it says. And I realize that we know what it says. The next thing that we're pressing so hard this morning in the Spirit of God is that we all experience this. Because when I say pressing so hard, when Paul uses the word provoke each other in love, to me, that's not something, when you provoke, it's not something that you just pat somebody on the back and say, well, you know, if you desire this, why don't you have it? Provoke means to strongly stimulate. And that's what we're here to do. Strongly stimulate each one of us. For what? Your benefit. Not my benefit. Not doing something for me. Your benefit. So that you can know God. So that you can experience God. So that you can know a manifestation of God in your life. And it's not in some other time. Not tomorrow. Not once in a while. You live on the husk 90% of the time, and when you come to desperation, then you reach out and ask God for the answers. And then you wonder why you're dry. You don't have the real bubbling joy because you're not experiencing Him. But He wants you to. He wants you to. And faith moves on in to experience this. That's why we took the time last week to speak so strongly in this area of belief and faith. Faith is always attached to Jesus Christ. Don't think about faith any other than attached to Jesus Christ. He is the author. He is the finisher of it. It comes from Him. It returns to Him. Faith experiences Him. That's why it's so important. Maybe the word manifestation hinders us. Find another word. If you can. In other words, I want to have the very life of God. I want God to be revealed to me and to each one of you. How can I settle? How can you settle for less? When we are concerned with one another, we love one another in the love of God that He has placed within us because we have His divine nature. Now, what do we want for the best as far as each other? That we can experience and we can go on and live in the Spirit. What does it mean to live in the Spirit? Just to love and have joy and have peace and all of these other fruit of the Spirit that comes from abiding? Or are we talking about the works of faith? James is very clear, is he not? We all know these scriptures also, but I don't know. I think we just close this book. It's like I said one time about other promises of God. We take the scriptures and we glue them together, or we put a paper clip on them, and we don't want to read that. James says very clearly, faith without works is dead. He didn't say faith without fruits is dead. He said faith without works is dead. You want to know what I'm doing? I'm hammering on this area to where you can't rely upon fruit. Well, I'm abiding in Him. You know, I'm enjoying Him. Praise the Lord. Are you moving in the Spirit? What does it mean to move in the Spirit each day? In your encounter with each other, your encounter with the world, are you really tasting of a manifestation of God? Are you trusting Him? Do you believe that you must have His knowledge, His wisdom, His faith to move? Or do you think you can go through the day without that? As you read through the book of John, and you get to those middle chapters there around 14, 15, and 16, there's a preparation of the Lord to his disciples in preparing them and preparing us to where he's not going to be any longer with them in the flesh. But he said, I will come unto you. I will manifest myself unto you. I mean, are you satisfied this morning to only have a book? Does that satisfy you? Does a knowledge of this by some commentary, does that satisfy you? Or do you need a manifestation of God that you know he's here, that he does care when you cry out and you see that I cannot walk separate from him, that he's going to be there. He is there. Now the thing is, it must be manifested that he's there. Just take the simplest one that we've been talking about here, the way we understand. If we are looking for a manifestation of healing, how do we know when he manifests himself? Simple, isn't it? No problem. Nothing's going to meet the need for that miracle except a miracle, right? Or except a healing. If I need knowledge, at that point, I don't need a manifestation of faith. I need a word of knowledge. Is that true? Simple. And I know it's not so simple either. I mean, so don't think that I'm putting us down by saying that, because I'm not. To me, if you ask me, what do you think about this? I think it's the most profound truth that God has revealed in his word. The depths of it is almost without finding out to realize that God has purposed that he can take and bring us from a natural, fleshly level into a spiritual level by a new birth. That we can take and have our minds changed to where we're no longer thinking on this level, but thinking on a spiritual level and still living on this plane, this world, in the walking amongst us. This world, walking in this world. I think that's profound. I think that's the fullness of his love has been revealed, that he has brought us and given us something that makes us different. No different if you know the Bible backwards and forward. That doesn't make you different. The thing that makes you different is that you know God. I just don't tell you. I'm not trying to put down fruits today. I'm only trying to let us see the difference between fruits and work. When we're really speaking about fruits, we're not really speaking about a plural of fruits. We're speaking about a singular fruit. If you look at the scriptures there, you may not think it has any meaning, and it may not this morning at this very minute. But when we're talking about what fruit is coming out of your life, we're talking about that which flows from the Spirit out through you. He has become your life. They're one fruit. Many different expressions of that one fruit. One fruit. It's the fruit of the life of God. And of course, as you read over in 2 Peter, let's look over there for just a moment. That passage, I'm sure you all are aware of 2 Peter. Should be. You should know it by heart. Let me just read two verses here. 3 and 4. According as his divine power. That doesn't give me too much understanding. I'm saying this is what you're saying. His divine ability. Give you any more? His divine strength. Give you any more? Because that's what it's meaning here when he's talking about according as his divine power has given unto us all things containing unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these we might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Lifted us to a higher plane. I can no longer walk in the flesh if the Spirit of God dwells in me. free. Freed into freedom. Simple statement, and of course we ponder that and what it really means, but that's what freedom is. To be freed into the spiritual life. Freed into Him. He said, you shall know the truth. Does that mean that you're going to know this and it makes you free? Never happens. Don't let me take away from now the scripture. I'm not taking away from the Bible, but that Bible will never make you free. That Bible speaks of Him. The only one that's going to make any one of us free here this morning and keep us free is the person of Christ. He is the truth. We're satisfied and been told that as long as we read this and know this, that we're free. Not so. You must know the life of God. If you know the life of God, He's alive. He's manifesting Himself. Don't tell me you can follow Jesus for 5 minutes and not realize that He's not walking in the natural. He's walking in the Spirit. The thing is, He's made provision for you. Don't say you can't. Belief. Are you fully convinced? That's why we brought that. Because we all believe. I believe all of us here are believers. Even if you haven't tasted of what God has for you, you're still a believer. You're fully convinced. I don't believe we have anybody here, sitting here, whether you have tasted of the life of God in a literal way or not. I believe that you're a believer. But you don't want to stay there. I don't want to stay there. I want to be fully convinced, and I want you to be fully convinced to the point that you realize I can do nothing. I must have Him. I must know Him. I must know a manifestation of Him. Now, many of us have not been brought to the place to where we're reaching out and we're helpless. Some of us are young. We've never encountered certain things. Others, maybe we have encountered these things and still we do not reach out. But when we come to a situation to where we need a manifestation of God, where we're so enveloped in our love for a person, and all of a sudden you see right before your eyes death reaching in to take them on, what are you looking for? Are you looking to help? How do you help? Just comfort them? Go ahead, die. No, you want a manifestation. Lord, reach out. You reach out to the doctors. Doctors say, we can't help you. You're narrowed down to only one thing. God's the only one who can help me. And there you start to reach out. Now, maybe all of us have not been down to that relationship with different people around us. Maybe we haven't brought the inner compassion or the inner love that is needed, but sooner or later in all of our lives here this morning, we will encounter this. And this is not to put you down, because this comes through experience. This comes through life as you encounter it. So this is not to say, well, just because you don't have it, you're going to need one thing. And the thing is to be prepared when these times come. To be prepared. Now, let's go on to another place over here in 1 Corinthians. Turn to 1 Corinthians in the 14th chapter. Paul spent quite a bit of time in this area. I think we have a certain amount of knowledge about the utterance gifts that are spoken of here, which are mainly prophecy, tongues, and interpretation. There's a few other truths that are brought out through this particular chapter of Corinthians. But when we're actually looking, why do we need prophecy? What is prophecy? Can anybody tell me what prophecy is? All right, let me tell you.
Telling forth.
Well, let's get down simpler now.
God is speaking now.
It's a manifestation of the Spirit now. For our need now. What is the reason for prophecy? And why do we need it? That's what it tells us right there in the third verse. It tells you very clearly what prophecy is. Speaks to men to edification. What does that mean? To build you up? speak for exhortation, stimulate you. That's what prophecy is for. It's not all of these other things that we may think prophecy is for. And it's for comfort. Simple. Tells you just what prophecy is. Now, if we need prophecy for edification, exhortation, and comfort, we don't need fruit right now. We need to be living in the life of God where fruit is coming out of our lives. But if I'm going to live, I need more than just fruit. And that's not putting fruit down. Boy, that's you know, putting the value where God puts it. We definitely, no sense in you saying that you can remove mountains, you have faith to remove mountains and don't have fruit. Because you're sounding brass and tinkling cymbals. We need fruit, but we can't move spiritually without manifestations of the Spirit. We can't, and He's made provisions for them. And they're for the working and good of all. They're not just for our own selves. And that's what the outflowing of God's life is in each one of us. That's why when we talk about manifestations, this is not to excite you. This is to bless others. That's what God wants to do. He wants to bless others. He wants to bless others through you. How can He bless others through you unless you are a vessel that is able to manifest the very presence and working of God? When Jesus met the little woman at the well, there's a good example here because it brings it out very clearly. When Jesus spoke to her, He didn't ask her, well, how many husbands do you have? He told her how many husbands she had. And told her that the one that she was living with was not her husband. What was that? Was that not a manifestation before this woman of God Himself? He was standing here. This was a manifestation of something that He knew because He was God. These are areas that we don't feel that we need these. But yet you're a child of God and He has given you the Spirit whereby you can know these things and not have to be on the level of this other natural, trying to logic things out, trying to reason with people. You speak positively because you know. Half of the time, or more than half of the time, I would say we try to meet needs and don't know what the needs are. Jesus knew what the needs were because He was God, because there was a manifestation. He's made full provisions for those manifestations in our lives. You can read more about them if you'd like to read over it again. And we all need to look at these things again and again and again. In the 12th chapter of Corinthians, when He speaks about these spiritual gifts, if you have a King James, it's a little deceptive. The word gift has been added for a better understanding. But we're actually talking, as it goes on farther down there in the chapter 12 verse, you see, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. Another question that you may ask, is this for the church only? Is this for the body of Christ only? Is this only to work amongst believers? I mean, God working in your life. No. This is for the expression of God in and through you in your daily walk and also in the body of Christ. You can say, well, I don't need this. Other brothers and sisters will take care of this in the body of Christ. You need what I'm talking about, a manifestation of God in the areas that we're talking about this morning, whereby you can move as a spiritual being. Let's go again. I've already told you to read it, but let's go back and look at it again. In the second chapter of 1 Corinthians. It's laid out here in the ninth verse of this chapter that has already been recorded for us. Eyes has not seen, ears heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love Him. Have you ever stopped to just take that verse? And, you know, we know what that verse says, but have you ever started to ask God, well, what are these things that you prepared for us? God has revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man, which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but by the Spirit of God. So if we're going to know the things of God, if we're going to be able to walk through this world being spiritual, now maybe you don't like to be spiritual. Maybe you think that that's kind of something that elevates you. No, that's something that humbles you and makes you of service where you can touch other lives. If you're not spiritual, you can't help anybody. You can go and do all kinds of things. But if you're not spiritual, you cannot help them in a spiritual way. What does it mean to be spiritual? It means to be under the control of the Spirit, does it not? It's to be moving with a manifestation, a revealing of the Lord and what He is doing and what He is. Because everything relates to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because if we need a word of knowledge, we need to know that which we do not know, and only the Spirit of God can reveal that to us. That, and as we know this, it must be related to Christ, because that is our whole life. And so anything that we're ministering to others, as He reveals certain things, all of it leads back to bringing somebody into the realization of the life of God. We have hundreds of religions around the world that people bring them into contact with doctrine and teaching, and we can get where it's nothing more than deadness. It's death. Doctrine is death. The Spirit gives life. And we need this life that we're talking about, but we just don't realize that we need a manifestation of God. We need to know that God is with us. And unless we become dissatisfied with the natural working and our natural understanding, we'll never reach out. Because as I already said, it's going to take everything that you are to exercise faith. You got to be alive. Spiritually, you have to be willing and seeing what God is saying enough to put everything, all of your will into that, and then to see a manifestation of it. That's what faith is all about. Realization of what God is saying, and you want to see a manifestation of it. Are we used in these areas of what it's speaking about over there in Corinthians in the 14th chapter when we speak about tongues and interpretation? What are we talking about when somebody speaks in tongues? What is that? Is just somebody gibbering away, or is that a manifestation of the Spirit? Now, we don't need tongues when we need healing. We don't need tongues when we need knowledge. We don't need tongues when we need wisdom. And He tells us how to use these certain manifestations so that we can be edified, we can be built up, so that we can move with purpose, so that we can be what God wants us to be. Because if we can't meet these needs, we'll never be like, I think it's Peter and John, silver and gold have we none, but what we have, we're going to give to you. What was that? Manifestation of God. And they tried to, I guess, blame them of being gods or something, right? Try to worship them. Well, that's usually the case, rather than realizing that this was a manifestation of God. What they had, they were willing to give. This was what it talks about, a miracle, a working of miracles, a manifestation. They could talk to that man all day. They can read all kinds of scriptures to him. They can read all kinds of, tell him that he's a sinner and everything. But this man needed healing. We think everybody needs salvation first, but this isn't the case always. We all need it, but that doesn't mean that that's always the way it comes first, and then God's going to heal us. God heals and uses these manifestations of Himself because purely of His mercy, not because any one of us deserve it, not because any one of us are worthy of allowing Him to work through us. yet he does not move through unholy vessels. But it's not on that basis that he works. He works because of his mercy. But we've got to desire it, because we can see, you can see that people today sit down and look at this other. They're satisfied. They're satisfied with words. They draw up to the table and they're feeding on the husk. And we don't believe that. Well, they're telling me spiritual things. Well, if you want to sit at the table and all they serve is the cobs of the corn, well, how long can you be satisfied with it? Go ahead, chew on it, husk for a while. I've chewed on this husk. Try to get a little juice out of it. None satisfying. Oh, completely. I need the reality of that nourishment that comes only from Him. The thing is, we're not really convinced, and that's what we're trying to do. Bring us to a place to where we can see the way God sees each one of us. Because what I'm saying to you, I'm saying to me. I cannot be convinced with just words. I cannot live on words. I cannot live on theology. I cannot live on commandments. I cannot live on doctrine. I must live on Christ. For me to tell you that I know Christ and Christ never manifests himself to me, never makes himself real to me, I'm a hypocrite. Now that shouldn't bring condemnation to us. That should we should realize that we don't have to be that way. Faith brings the reality of this. How is our walk? Is it not a walk of faith? Faith is seeing works. What is faith attached to? To Christ. It's a manifestation of Him, whatever it may be. We don't walk in faith once in a while. God has called us to walk in faith all the time. All right. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah.
Yes. Amen.
Anytime that we try to look to ourselves, anytime that we do not move under the direction of the Spirit, we're going to have heartaches. Because we're going to have to come back to the crossroads. You can say, well, I don't want to take the time to realize what you're talking about. You will reap from the flesh. And you'll reap because you want to reap. Because God has made every provision. You can't say that He hasn't. None of us sitting here this morning can say He hasn't made provision. The only thing we can say, and of course a lot of us, we have our excuses. But the only excuse that I find, and what I'm saying is, I'm saying it's for me. The only excuse that I can find is that I won't. It isn't that I can't. I won't. Now, if that shoe fits you, well, put it on. But when I come to that place and I say I won't, the trouble is me, it's not God. I can't come to God at any time and tell Him that the trouble is Him. I'm waiting on Him. No, God's waiting on us. None of us can sit right here this morning and say, well, you know, I've prayed that God would take and fill me. You haven't prayed for faith. That isn't to bring condemnation. That's just to bring us to a realization. The promise is free. You don't have to do anything for it. All you have to do is receive it. But that's not enough. Now to walk in the life of God, that's the next thing. And then when you start to encounter this, you're going to find out that receiving was nothing. Glory?
<Yes.
laughs> Receiving was nothing. It was only a step. Now to walk it out on a daily basis. Don't be like the one that, you know, that Jesus gave one talent to. And he said, man, this is too hard. This fellow's too hard on me, man. I'm going to dig a hole and bury what God has given me. There's not a one of you sitting here this morning, including myself, that God hadn't given us the ability to have faith. You're going to hide it? You're not going to use it? What do I have to use it for? To live. To live on this plane that we're talking about, spiritual plane. spiritual life, mm-hmm. knowing Him. How is it? Wonderful. Does He take all the bumps out of the road? No. Remove all the mountains? No. How about the valleys? Doesn't remove them either. But He just walks down there with you. Now walks over these mountains with you and walks down in the valleys with you. He's there. He said, I'll never leave you. I'm going to manifest myself to you. I'm going to come. I'm going to be with you. Again, let me emphasize it. If God was only a person and sent me a letter and wasn't willing to come and manifest Himself to me, come and indwell me and give me what I could not be and be in me what I cannot be, I only have a religion. Not enough. Not enough for anybody. Not enough for young people here, sitting here. We're not trying to put a trip, a guilt trip on you, anything else. God offers this to you. I'm not trying to press it on you. When God gives a promise, He just wants you to know about the promise. You're the one that's got the hunger and thirst. I can't hunger and thirst for you. I'm not trying to force you to receive what God has for you. You must be hungry, because I can force and I can force and I can force. It'll never do nothing but make you angry. Mm-hmm. Glory? Mm-hmm. I can want the best for you. Mm-hmm. But only your faith can reach out and receive the best. Mm-hmm. Greater works shall you do because I go to the Father. I'm really not concerned with works. You're not? These works whereby my Father is going to be glorified. You're not interested in glorifying the Father? Come on. Get these things balanced in the right proportion. I'm more interested in the fruit than I am works. I don't think you can be interested in one or the other in any other way than what God. If you're abiding in the Spirit of God, you're abiding in the life of God, those fruits are going to come out of your life. That fruit is going to be manifested in you. If the Spirit of God dwells in you and you're sensitive to His working and realize that you cannot move separate from Him, that's what He says, right? You can do nothing separate from me. What do you mean? What do you think that means? Huh? I can do nothing separate from God. That means that I can not move in the spiritual realm separate from Him. I cannot know the things of God separate from Him. I must have Him. Because when you get down to, after the exhortation this morning and after looking at these things as far as works and fruit, when it gets right down to it, these words drift away and you find yourself enveloped with Christ Himself. These are only for explaining. These are only for encouraging us to give us a little bit of understanding so that we can do it. But when you come down to it, it's no longer just looking for works. He's there. He's manifest. I'm moving in union with Him. I'm not thinking about loving. I'm loving. I'm not thinking about, well, what do I need to use here? Lord, give me this or give me that. You're going to find that the Holy Spirit is there. He knows what you need. He works it severally as He wills. And when you need a word of knowledge, it's going to be there. You don't have to pray it up or ask about it. If you do, then you pray for it. If you come to a situation and you say, Lord, I don't have the wisdom here, then pray for it. He will give it to you. But I found that many times, you don't have to pray for these things. He's there. He knows what your need is. When you come to this situation, there it is, manifestation. And it works out. It comes right out and gives you understanding. I think I've repeated this, but it may be worthwhile this morning to repeat it another time to show you what I'm talking about. We need a miracle. Here I am. I'm down standing on a platform in Panama. And all of a sudden, I look and I see a vision. I'm wide awake. My eyes are wide open. Nobody else has seen it. I know they're not seeing it. But I see a vision. Man, it's color and everything. I see a river flowing down in the midst of this thing. And I see a man standing on the other side of that river. And I see a woman standing here with four children on this side of the river. And there's no way for that man to get across to this woman and these children. Why does God bring this? I didn't ask God for this. I knew nothing about this. This wasn't something that I prayed for. This is something that God moves as He will. But what's it for? Now, this is a manifestation of God. This is knowledge. And then I ask you, Lord, I'm sitting there, I'm befuddled, I'm everything. I mean, I really, what do I do with this, God? That's what I'm saying. I'm crying out in my spirit. What do I do with what I see? Because I know nobody else is seeing it. And He says, just declare. Boy, that's simple, isn't it? That's wisdom, isn't it? I have to do that to find out whether it was or not. Because I can say all day, if I never said anything about it, what would it do? So I start to tell what I see. And there isn't too long after you start telling and seeing what's going on. Here's a man standing on that side, and here's a woman with four children standing on this side. The next thing I see, a man getting up in the back of the gathering place there. And I see a mother, and I see four children start to congregate. And I said, God's going to make a way that this man can come across this river and be united with his family. And that's exactly what happened. And I think the last time that Brother Eddie was here and spoke to us, he told you about that situation. And he said to their dying day, they never were parted again. He came across that river, just like God. There was a division between them, but they came across, and the family was united again. The father again became. Now, what's that all about? Is everybody going to have that? I've never had one before that and never had one since that. I don't know whether God will ever allow me to have another one like that or not. I don't know. I'm not looking for it. It's not something that you just desire after and say, oh, that's wonderful. It's not so wonderful when it's happening to you. You may think it's wonderful, but it's not so wonderful. It's a very fearful thing to see something with your eyes wide open, and here's a vision that stretches out across the whole back of a building. You say, am I going crazy? What's happening to me? No, God just wants to manifest Himself. That was a manifestation of God showing His loving kindness to people. If I had never declared it, that loving kindness would have never touched those lives. Doesn't give no credit to me or anybody else. That has no meaning here. As I say, I've never had one before or after. God knows just what we need when we need it. But I'm saying this morning, we need a manifestation of God in our lives. We do not serve a God that's dead. You say, well, I just talked to Him this morning. What did you say to Him? What did He say to you? What bettered you to move through today? What manifestation in your life, what direction in your life did He give you to move through? Is there a manifestation of God? Is God speaking to you? Because if He's not, He will and wants to. But you've got to desire. You can't be satisfied because this other is a place of inactivity as far as our spiritual area and our faith reaching out to God. We're just passive. Thousands are passive. We're not being critical of them. They're just passive. They've decided to live from their natural mind. What is it? Enmity to God. You can say, well, they're filled with scriptures. So was the Sadducees and Pharisees. Filled with scriptures. They knew the law by the letter to the very nth of it. What did God say about it? All I'm trying to say is, these things are not what we're looking for this morning. We're looking for a manifestation of Jesus Christ in our lives, through our lives. That's the only thing that's going to make the difference. Don't let me, let me repeat myself time and time again here if I have to. We're not laying aside the fruit of the Spirit, but we're saying that the fruit of the Spirit is not going to meet the need in your life to minister and manifest Christ. We can say we love each other, we can pat each other on the back, and we can do all of these wonderful things, but I still need a manifestation of the Spirit of God. I need food. God said He would be with us, that He would be in our midst, He would walk amongst us, He would speak to us. How does He do this? Manifestation of the Spirit, right? Amen. You have the Holy Spirit. He tells you whether it's of God or not. Everybody that says, Lord, Lord, doesn't mean it's of God. And every prophecy that comes forth, every tongue that comes forth is not of God. But you have the Spirit. And if you're willing to put a wall up and say, well, there might be false, and I don't want to even enter into this realm, then we cut off God. Because any time that you've got a real, you always got a counterfeit. Always got a counterfeit. To come to this place to realize what God has provided for us, I think we grope for understanding in this area, and we use certain words. I only have certain words that I know how to use. To me, the greatest working is when God takes and comes in union with man. That's the only word I really know. Oneness, union with man. That union is something that, as far as the natural man or as far as any relationship that we have no reference point. We have no reference point. So don't tell me you know about it. I can't tell you that I know any more than what I have experienced. You cannot have any more than what you have experienced. God has ordained, young or old, student, mother or dad, or whether you have a job, whatever it is, whether you're the principal, doesn't make a difference who you are. You need these manifestations in your life to do whatever you're doing.
Yes.
You cannot be without them. And you're going to have to wait upon God. God's not going to move at your bidden call when you snap your finger and say, well, Lord, if you don't move and give me the knowledge, I'm going to have to move on my own. The world demands it. Sorry, you just stop and say, I'm sorry. I don't move until God moves. You didn't get Jesus excited. He didn't move until the Father moved. He didn't work until the Father worked. Now, come on. Because this is what God has called us to, a place of rest, a place of being free. We don't know what freedom is. Freedom to us is not having any weight of responsibility on us. Freedom is to be in Christ, moving in Him. He's upholding everything. I'm freed. I'm freed from the natural into freedom as far as the Spirit is concerned. I've been freed from the natural into the spiritual. In the spiritual, as I walk in the Spirit, is the only place that I can be free. I mean really free. And I must stay free. If I walk in the Spirit, I'm going to be free. If I move in my own, sooner or later, I'm going to be bound up. I'm not going to know this working. And that's why we become dissatisfied. That's why we become cold and indifferent to what God is doing. It's because we're not experiencing the freshness of His presence. Know anything about that? I'm not just talking to you. If I didn't know, I come to these times too. And I know that they're real. And I know that when I move in my own, I have to come back to where I moved from. When I move separate from knowing Him, I have to come back and know Him where I left Him. And I didn't leave Him. He didn't leave me. I just moved separate from Him. When I say move separate from Him, it's an expression that's hard to put. Because when I'm moving in union with Him, He moved and I didn't move. That's what I'm saying. So that's why I use the word separate from Him. But He is my life. I'm not looking for Him to guide me and give me life. He is my life. He is your life. He wants to be your life. So I think you can see in some small way what we're talking about as far as believing, fully convinced, faith that brings us into a reality, brings a manifestation of God into our lives. It's not something that we're looking for once in a while, once a week. It's something that we walk in through each day. The only way I'm going to take on this mind is to set my mind on the things of the Spirit. He's going to give me that ability. I've already said that maybe you don't understand power. Power is ability. In other words, if He's going to give you the power to be a son of God, He's going to give you the ability to be a son of God. To have the ability to be the son of God means that I'm going to have the strength. I'm going to have the knowledge. Not natural, spiritual. All of us have had the natural hell before us. The demand is always there, the natural. It's held before us constantly. From the time almost that we came into this world, the natural has been held before us. We have missed the best. Because the best is not what man can do. The best is what God can do. But you need what man has to be accepted to where you can get in and affect man. I'm a testimony against that. So don't talk to me too much. God knows how to open doors. You don't have to have a doctor's degree. You don't even have to have a college education. God can open doors and He can speak to people's hearts. We know that.
Yes.
Yep, but the pressure is there. Know the world. Get qualified. And we're not taking away that if you've got to make a living, well, you need to be qualified to do that. But the emphasis in my heart is to know God.
Yes.
Right in my job, wherever it is. That is the thrust of my heart. My thrust is not to better myself to where I can think in the realm of the world. It's to bring myself to a place where I can think in the Spirit and I can know the things of the Spirit, that I can be a blessing poured out to others, that I can be a manifestation and bring the manifestation to people that I encounter. Now, if the Spirit is not going to, we're not going to allow Him to meet with us, and we're not going to believe, and we're not going to act it out and see what God, we're not going to act on what God has said, then God's still faithful. God will speak to us. But when you stand before God, He's going to say, how many times have I, when, Lord, did we do these things? He said, well, I've come to you all of these times and spoken to you. But even in serving Him, see, we think, well, Lord, when did we do this? Because what we're talking about comes from an overflow of His life. We're not keeping account. We're not doing these things, beloved, to be accepted. We're doing these things because we're sons. Mm-hmm. Yes. We're moving in the life of God. We're manifesting faith, and His manifestation is evident. Not because I want to do it to be accepted. It's because I can't help myself. As long as I'm in the Spirit. I can't help myself if I'm moving in faith. This is life. What's keeping you breathing right now? You breathing because you want to breathe? You know all about what's happening when you breathe? No, you breathe because you're breathing. When we have the life of God, we're living because we have the life of God within us.
Amen.
We may not be able to put our finger and dissect it and know everything that's happening, but we know Him.